Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Good morning again, or good afternoon, wherever you are, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Brett was wondering when I was going to say the Bluff, because he's from that area, and I just moved there myself for the first time ever, and I love it there. Love the people, have some great neighbors, and have a great little house. I have a half a house. I lost my wife in December, just 2 days before Christmas. It was a lousy Christmas, so I had a twice the size of my house. I went down to half my house, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it because I only have to clean half of it. It's in a 100-plus-year-old neighborhood. My house is 110 years old. It had been remodeled for me, and I enjoy that part. I don't have to remodel this one. So anyway, Brett was looking at me. He's one of these younger guys that tries to keep the older people from not falling over, from not going off the path, helping them remember what scripture verse that was.
All right. Gentle grab on the elbow and come with me.
A little tap. He doesn't need the cane around the neck. Change his weight yet. We are in Matthew. We are going to go through this where Jesus came into the temple. This is the first time he really talks about the religion of that day, on how it was focused on man. It had been absorbed into the world. They were talking about is worldly things. They were not introducing the kingdom of the heavens, the brand new government. They were making God equal to being here on earth. And you'll find out later on in the Bible, set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. Well, a lot of churches now have Christian rock bands. They brought the world into their church. They don't read the Bible, or they say very little of the Bible. This is something that we've noticed, and we've tried to go the opposite direction and keep our mind on the things above, because change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. So now we're going to place Jesus in the temple. And apparently the people, his 12 disciples, were with him in the temple. They were all Jews, so they could go in. Even the disciples were Jewish, so they could go in. And they saw him in action in the temple and how he related to the religious people from top to bottom. The elders would be at the bottom, and the high priests, notice how they're called, the high priests, they're on top, and they were the ones like Zacharias, John the Baptist's dad, who could actually go into the holy place. But they had to have on clean garments, and they had to obey certain things. But John the Baptizer was different, wouldn't you say, Andy?
He was different.
Totally different.
Totally different than them.
Well, were they washed in the laver? Where did John the Baptizer take them?
Took him to the River Jordan.
That's not in the center of their worship anymore. That's at the edge of the boundary of their property, isn't it?
Well, the priests were the ones that went in there and washed. John told everybody, come out here.
To the Jordan.
Come out here to the Jordan and wash. And they came out there confessing their sins.
John pulled them out of their center of worship, run by people who had become so worldly-minded, they were no godly good. And he pulled them out of that and joined, and notice it was at the edge of the boundary of their property. at the end of their country.
And one thing you notice in the whole group of people that came out there to John, you didn't hear one thing when they were out there. You didn't hear any animals, because they used to bring animals to get sin offerings. Now, no more of that. He's out there. He's just telling them to come out here, repent, and be baptized into a place called the remission of sins. And the people came out there, and the priests were not pleased with all of this, because they left the temple and left him high and dry.
You know, the temples that people have today, they call churches, are one room. If you really want to build a physical building, it has to be three rooms. And it has to be centered around the Ark of the Covenant. It has to be centered around the Word of God. And they've even left that today. It's not centered around the Word of God. It's centered around a denomination. And why are they so divided? Why do we have 8,000 different churches, types of churches, types of different denominations in the world today?
Different opinions, different interpretations, man interpreting the Bible, interpreting the Bible with their minds.
Different languages, different customs, 8,000-9,000 different languages, 8,000-9,000
different
denominations.
Different spirits.
Yes.
That's one you have to let in. Different spirits. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture that talks about, there's another, people say, they're told, the scripture says there is another Jesus. So there's someone that's named Jesus that's another one, literally, not this Jesus. And then it says, if you follow after that another Jesus, you'll end up receiving a different spirit, a heteros, different spirit than the Holy Spirit, and a different good news message.
Mm.
Different.
A lot of bondage, a lot of physical things, do's and don'ts, and it doesn't get at the heart. What it does is mesmerizes people's minds, and they become slaves in their minds. But God goes to the very center of man, something no animal has, no other creation has, but the heart, the spirit. And we are the only creation that God uses three different creation words. Bara creates our heart. We're created in God's image and likeness, and that is the word bara, from nothing. Nothing human, nothing we know of. And then he yotzered, he made man of the clay, and then he breathed into his nostrils and made man gasha, after his exact likeness and image, and it was actually perfect to begin with for about 128 years, if you can imagine that. Then man fell, and then at age 130, the first lineage from Adam that's mentioned in the Bible, Seth, was now man's fallen image with a huge void right in the center of their hearts. So John the Baptist came, and he brings people to the edge, not to the center of Israel, but he brings them to the edge of their country and baptizes them, and he's showing them an entrance into another country, the kingdom of the heavens. You think that's what's happening, Andy?
Well, God the Father made a selection in that he gave the Holy Spirit to John, and he's called, "Behold my messenger, I will send him before your face to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus, to make Jesus' path straight." That's a big picture right there.
So he goes, John the Baptizer, not like his dad, he's of a new birth, only man born that had fallen, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he leads people away from their temple, their worship, their wrong worship, led by these chief priests who had taken it over, not like Zadok the priest. You know, in the time, I think of David and so on, there were godly priests, and they were of the tribe of Levi, and then some like Eli. Ever since Eli and his two kids, actually the Ark of the Covenant was taken away before David became king, when Saul was king, the ark, or even was it before that? Anyway, around the time Saul was king, maybe a little bit before that. And then it didn't come back until David brought the Ark of the Covenant back, and he did it wrong to begin with, and somebody lost their life because he didn't handle the Ark as holy. And so then they went back to the scriptures. Instead of bringing it on a cart, it was hand-carried by the priests, I believe. Anyway, it was hand-carried back to Jerusalem, and eventually it ended up, instead of in Moses' tabernacle, it ended up in Solomon's. They eventually ended up in Solomon's. And I don't know if it was put back in during David's time into either the temple was in Shiloh, I believe. And when they built Solomon's temple, they brought that Moses' temple back from Shiloh and did specific things with respect to it. But they were all showing different eras in our relationship and worship of God. And this is the most drastic, where take the direction. They went from the east, even further east. And then the book of Acts begins by going up, being born up, Onathen, Genesis. So you can see that God had a brand new and we get a new view of the temple. So this is the kingdom of the heavens is now introduced in Matthew, and that's what we are looking at, this first stair step. And now he's beckoning people to come out of their old form or worship, their old priests, people that they respected as being God's voices. And it starts with John the Baptizer. He is now setting the way. And then he is the first to baptize whom?
Well, he baptized Jesus.
And that happened in chapter 3.
Of Matthew.
Matthew. Do you want to read that?
Sure.
That context?
Sure.
We're still thinking about the temple, but Jesus isn't baptized. He's not washed in the laver in the temple. He's washed, baptized. He comes to John.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. And in those days cometh John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. For this is he spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, A voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ye ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John himself had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loin, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then went out into him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Seeing many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to the baptism, he said to them, Offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring fruit, therefore, worthy of repentance, and think not within yourselves, We have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you that God can raise these stones, raise up children to Abraham. And already the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that brings not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, but who cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not fit to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire, his fan, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor and gather his grain into the garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire.
Well, let's stop there for a second. So where is John located on the earth? Where is he on the earth?
He's not at the temple. He's out at the Jordan River, and it says that John was out in the wilderness. So people knew who John was on the day that he was born. It was said, what will become of this person? And so they waited years and years and years, and now, 30 years later, finally, the word of the Lord comes to him, and he's out in the desert, and he starts talking, and everybody goes out there. Then it went out into him, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan. Everybody knew who this guy was. We don't, you know, people do not know who John the Baptist is today. I've taught this many times over the past 25 years, and people listen eagerly because it's not running into anything that's in their memories. And it's new information to people. He is unknown to people.
So Jesus doesn't go to the temple to get baptized, to wash.
He goes to John.
He goes to the border of Israel, showing a new kingdom is coming. He's leading us into a new kingdom that if we are baptized at the edge of this Old Testament way of thinking, and even the old church way of thinking, and people in modern churches today will say, well, yeah, we're not like they are. Oh, they're just exactly like they are. And God is calling people out of that type of church to be born up. Not some church building that has mixed itself with the world and is contemporary and always talking about the world. We're talking about the kingdom of the heavens, which is up.
And it's interesting because it's talked about in another place in the Old Testament where, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. And he even goes to saying that both of those, God's ways, his ways and his thoughts are higher than man's ways. So showing a new way in things, and it's different than what people know, what they're used to. And, you know, whether they've been in the Old Testament reading according to the law, and he's showing them, here is something new. And God does that. I've seen that in the scriptures where he changes the calendar, you know, and he changes, okay, you were doing it this way, this is what we're going to be doing now.
It's in 1,000 years increments.
Right.
And we're in a millennial increment. And our calendar could be easily 20 years off. They had like about 20, I think, different calendars. I heard one place 11. We use the Gregorian, a form of the Gregorian calendar. And it still is not correct because every 4 years they have to correct it. So there's something else going on here. This could be the year 6,000 from the time of Adam, because there's no genealogy. We don't know. Man's took it over, and it's a big cloud of about 20. There's a 20-year period that it's likely off. So they've been protecting a long time. There's one group that had Jesus in a closet in San Diego about 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still going, that group is still going today. And you got to leave these things that they're inherently wrong. You have to leave that. Anyway, so he brings them, and he is at the Jordan. He is introducing, and Jesus is going to show by his action of when he is baptized that we enter a new country. And right after this is where he tells, first thing is repent, change your mind. And then the second thing is follow me into this new country. And it's not to the left or the right. This country is for the kingdom of the heavens. This one is up. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the higher part, I've never thought of that. It's higher. It's up.
Right.
It's not just more elevated thinking. It's literally a kingdom that's up. I haven't thought about it that simplistically.
So take the temple, and there are three heavens, which is interesting, and the third heaven is also called paradise. It's exactly the same thing, paradousia. Eden, man, and man fell. What do you think fall is? Is that left or right, or is that?
It's coming down from up.
It's coming down from up. It's not up or down. It's going down from a height.
That's
and
good.
If they have fallen, we're uh-huh. now, and they're in Satan's realm, who crawls on his belly. And a lot of people crawl on their bellies on this earth. And drugs make that really apparent. But we are in a domain. He's the prince of the power of the air, so he has a little bit of airspace. but it's belly to him. And a lot of the preachings today are belly preachings. They're making a contemporary part of this world, equal to this world, but they're not teaching up. And then some religions teach up, is where it's all spiritual, but they don't read their Bibles, and there's a governance in that. You'll find, like in the book of Corinthians, that that it's not just all this woo-woo-woo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just spiritual. There's a governance that we have to do things, and it has to agree with the Word of God.
Right.
They make excuses by now they're spiritual, and that's again, man operating on the earth, trying to do it their way.
Earthly wisdom,
yeah.
And things like that. Andy mentioned earlier where it was talking about in Isaiah 34:16, it even shows that the Holy Spirit is the gatherer of the scriptures. So unless the Holy Spirit's doing that, something else is. And if you build...
The Spirit gathers it.
Yeah, if you build on anything other than what the Holy Spirit is gathering, then you're going to get a whole bunch of not what the Holy Spirit was gathering.
You're going to get a lot of you.
Yeah, a lot of
you. A lot of me, and I.
And now there's some wisdom that doesn't come down from above. And it says that it's three things. It's earthly, and it's sensual, and it's demonic. Now, if you wanted to do that's in James chapter 3, verse 15.
The wisdom from above is what? It says, what's the wisdom from above?
The wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. But the wisdom...
Wait a second. How many were there?
There is...
Let's say them again.
Pure, peaceable...
Two.
Gentle.
Three.
Willing to yield.
Four.
Full of mercy.
Five.
Good fruits.
Six.
Without partiality.
Seven.
Without hypocrisy.
Eight. I had a funny feeling. It's Jesus.
And it says where you have that earthly wisdom, it's there you're going to find envy, self-seeking, confusion, and every evil thing.
Four. It's of the world. The world is always in fours.
So there
you
are.
Four corners of the earth.
Right.
You know, it talks about those.
Well,
in the Bible, the four is always talking about the earth.
Wow.
You have a look on your face, Andy.
That's just like big. That's big. That we're talking about things about it, but here's what the Bible says about that. It's wisdom of the earth has all of these bad things about it. And then all of these things are going to be around those bad things.
Say those again, those four things that we want to be careful of.
Okay.
Second was sensual. It's earthly, sensual, and the last was demonic.
Earthly on one side,
yeah.
Sensual in the middle, and demonic on the other. So if your bookends are earthly and demonic, just think about the pressure you're going to since it's going to have that much effect on you. It's going to make you this.
Well, that's the realm of Satan.
Yep. Envy, self-seeking, confusion, and every evil thing.
Now, if people live in a place like that and they're trying to use the Bible, then that's a big problem.
Yeah, it won't fit if they're reading the whole Bible.
Right.
Not just their favorite little part of a verse or their favorite verse, but the whole picture.
Right.
And if they read it and they're in confusion, it will only be confused to them. They won't
and
see it.
They're going to teach that to others.
Yes.
And so you're going to have a whole bunch of confusion too. That's why it's important that the Holy Spirit is involved in these things.
So Andy was finishing. He was reading that last context, right?
Then comes Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But he would hinder him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou hast come to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, suffer now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when baptized, went up straight from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened, and he saw God's Spirit descending as if a dove coming upon him. And lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, this is my Son, the beloved in whom I am well pleased.
So there's, it looks like one more thing is added here. So when Jesus was baptized, number one, he's baptized. Number two, straightway he goes up from the water. Number three, the heavens are opened. And then number four, God's Spirit descending like a dove. Number five, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son." And five is the number of man. Isn't this interesting? Now this voice is saying from God, "This is my son, the beloved in whom I am well pleased." Isn't that, the tales are turned about what a man is. See, I have five fingers, five toes, five holes in my head. And that mark of man is all over me. And yet Jesus is a man. He came as a man, but he is now, it's proclaimed, my son. He's my son.
And it's God the Father saying that.
The Father.
He's saying that.
The ultimate. Then back in 21, and you know, Andy, please, if anything comes up about John the Baptist as we go along anywhere, Andy's the one that's really spent a lot of time teaching that and living in that concept of John the Baptist where it's found in the Bible. So
in John 21, I wanted to go back just a minute to the very first verse.
Oh, he took advantage of that right away, didn't he?
John, this where again? This is not again. About this. This is where Matthew, something else.
Say where you are again.
Matthew 21:12. Jesus entered the temple. So we've got Jesus entering the temple over here in verse 23, but Jesus enters the temple here to start with, and he cast out and sold and all that sold and bought in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of them and sold the doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and lame came out to the temple, and he cured them. But the chief priests, seeing the wonders which he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," were indignant. And he said to them, "Hear thou what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yea, did you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?" And so then he leaves the temple and went forth out of the city, and he lodged there. In the morning he returned to the city. And then it talks about that a little bit. And then it says, and then he came into the temple. So the first time he came in, he turned it upside down.
He cleansed it.
And then the next time he came in teaching. So he cleansed it before he started teaching.
He had to even come back another time to teach the next day.
Yes, he came the next day to the temple. So cleansing happened first, some healing happened, and then he came back. That's when he started teaching.
And then we're going to go on about when he came into the temple again, and he was teaching in the temple, like Andy said. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."